Well, this evening we're looking back in the book of Galatians. Actually, we've been going pretty slow in this thing, and I sit and read over Galatians during the day and look at some of my notes, but I just do a lot of sort of meditation. I do more of that. God's had me do more of that about ministry, is about spending more time in meditating on the Word than actually doing study before teaching. And I just pray. And so we haven't been going. Last week we spent quite a bit of time. We had read the scriptures that we read from Galatians. With Galatians, the first chapter, verses 11 and 12, we talked about Paul spoke about him receiving the gospel that he preached by revelation of Jesus Christ. And we talked about revelation, how important that is. God's great desire to people is to reveal himself, not just to give us information. Revelation is an amazing thing. And it's just like when I got born again, the revelation that came to me concerning Jesus Christ, God's dealing with me. He dealt with me personally. You know, over the years, I knew what the gospel said, things about the gospel. But there's one thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows us as individuals. He knows what makes us tick. You know, it's the same thing that might move me may not move you. And the things that move you may not move me. God knows us so intricately, and he knows you so personally. He knows what will make you work. It's one of the things that God got to me and got me saved was over the things of dealing with me about my family. You know, I didn't care much if I went to hell or not. I just did not care. I mean, I knew about hell and I knew all about that stuff, raised around the things. I had my life and my directions, but my wife, my kids, I mean, when the Holy Spirit started dealing with me, and he did, I was working at Reese's, and you guys heard me tell the story of going in the cafeteria there, the lunchroom, and sitting down, and when I would go in to take lunch, I was the group leader, so I'd have to make sure everything else was taken care of in the department. Then I would go ahead out, and I was usually by myself when I went to lunch and things, and I'd go to the cafeteria, usually in mostly in between hours, and so there wasn't many people in. It was a big room, but there usually wasn't many people in there, and I would usually sit at a table by myself, and I'd sit down at the table by myself, and I'll never forget, just as clear, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "What's going to happen to your family?" And that's all the words he said, but immediately it was like I got this revelation. I knew exactly what, I knew it was the God talking to me. I knew it was the Holy Spirit talking to me. And I knew what he was trying to say. I knew he was saying, my family's going to hell. I'm leading my family to hell. I knew it. I knew exactly what, yet he never said those words, but I knew it. And this went on for months to where I wouldn't want to go into the lunchroom anymore because I would go in there. And this voice would speak to me in the lunchroom. What's going to happen to your family? What's going to happen to your family? And it just irritated me. So I decided I wasn't going to go to the lunchroom anymore, so I decided to go to the locker room. But he knew where the locker room was too. So that one didn't work. I don't know who told him where the locker room was. I don't know who he asked. But anyhow, I went there and that voice, but really put me under really conviction, and that's what grabbed me, because I kept thinking about this. I'm thinking, you know, this isn't really about me. And I thought, to me, was a big thing was my family, what I was doing to them. And really what I was, God really showed me, you know, I was a leader and I was leading them off to hell is what I was doing. And I thought about, where's my wife and kids? Kids are going to go to hell because of me if I don't make a change. And so I decided I was going to make a change, and I did that then. I made the change. But it was because the Holy Spirit knew how to deal with me. In other words, he revealed himself to me, and that's what the Word of God's about. The Holy Spirit, in fact, you know, this past week, you know, talking about it in church, is the really, and people need to understand this, we put the thing, and most people don't understand what salvation is about. They think it's just about going to heaven. They think about, I got saved, now I'm going to go to heaven, I'm not going to hell. Hey, that's nice, that's great. But that's not the purpose here in the earth, the full purpose and meaning of it. The whole purpose in this earth, God got you born again. In other words, he put his nature in you so the Holy Spirit could live in you. And in the earth, through people, God could carry out his perfect will. The whole point was making people. And it's interesting. If you go over and you look at what Jesus told the disciples about what the Holy Spirit was in John, and then on the day of Pentecost come along, he didn't talk to them about being saved. He talked to them about, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. What's going to happen to you guys? You guys are going to get the promise of the Father is going to come in you. And that's the biggie. Because number one, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. It didn't say there's many who got born again are sons of God. Loads of people get born again but never live a son of God life. Never walk in. They walk in their religious ideas and in their different things. And this is the whole thing. Paul got a revelation and he began to preach that revelation. In other words, God didn't just give a revelation to him. That revelation was supposed to become your revelation and my revelation. In other words, let God reveal himself to you. It isn't just reading and finding out information on a page. It's about this book becoming, the words in this book becoming your words, becoming the stuff that's in you that you believe and you walk in, and the things that you think. And it's God revealed to you. God's being revealed. And that's the purpose of the book. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and it says He reveals it to us. Paul preached a revelation that he got. It wasn't just something somebody else said. See, many people go along and they preach just what somebody else said, what they've heard over the years said, and they go around and they may say many new real things. But there's one thing about it. What hasn't become yours through revelation will never be your conviction. What I've been revealed to me is what my conviction is in life. And the Lord spoke to me when I was a young Christian and told me. He said, you want to bring other people to faith. He said, the more that you're convicted that the Word of God's true, He said that your conviction will grab the hearts of other people. And they'll believe. They'll walk in faith. They'll do it too because of your conviction. One of the greatest things you see, and I don't care whether it's Christian or non-Christian, you look in life, you take a man like Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was convinced about what he believed. His conviction gripped the hearts of people. Too many Christians have no conviction whatsoever. They don't have any conviction. They have information. Information is not conviction. It's not it doesn't grip the heart of things. I can tell you about when I was just in school as a kid, we had teachers with conviction about what they taught, and you had information givers. I never liked the information givers. They were lousy teachers. Information givers are not good teachers. A person who's convicted about what they're sold on, what they're doing, they're sold on, it grips you. It does something to you. The person is just giving information and doing stuff. It's nothing. And that's what the anointing. You know, the anointing that's on the Word of God, it becomes God revealed to you. Hallelujah. That's what you want. Now, Paul goes on in Galatians, the first chapter there, and in verse 13 he said, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." So he's going to go on here. He's talking about, and I want you to get something in he says here. He said to these guys, I want you to know beforehand, because he's dealing with the subject of salvation by faith alone. That's what he's talking about. Now, he's talking about what he was. It's interesting here what he says, because he said, my former conduct among Judaism. Understand, Judaism is a religion. Much of Judaism is not a revelation from God. It's man's revelation of what he said God said. Now, the Jews, it's just like the Jews, we talked about this. The Jews were given the law by Moses. Moses went on the mountain and God gave him the law. So, Moses wrote the law down, the entire law. There was all kinds of things were involved in the law other than the Ten Commandments. But all that was written down. So we go over, and that's where you go through from, really from Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, deal with the things of the law. And all that stuff was in writing, and God explained what He wanted to do. Well, over the years, the Jews took the law and added 20,000 laws to it, to saying what God was trying to say. And they developed their own religion. Do you know, really, the Jews, and I'm listening to other people teach on no more than I do about it, the Jews actually, in their revelation, is one of the things that we talked about before. When the disciples were walking through the fields and took grain and ate them, they said they ate without washed hands. That wasn't in the law. The law of Moses has no such thing in it. But the Jews made a law that said you couldn't do that. They said that's what God wanted. Well, God never said it, so how would you know He wanted it? But they made it. Do you know, actually, they viewed that as such a terrible crime that you could have been put to death for that. They were a sick bunch of people. You see, religious people get weird. They think they're really doing good stuff, and they're not doing good stuff. They get out. It's one thing. You'll never find religion that don't go to perversion. It always does. Religion always go to some kind of perversion. Religion is never based upon faith. It's always based upon works. It's never based upon trust in God. And that's when you find it. See, they had got all these laws, and the laws became so intricate. In fact, Jesus even made the statement, you know, the laws could come around and kill the Jews during the tribulation period. Jesus made about the law. He said concerning the tribulation. He said, when the abomination of desolation, when you see that happen, he said, you know, come out down off your roofs and whatever, leave you, go, don't come back to the house, get out of town. He said, pray it doesn't happen on the Sabbath. And that's interesting he said that. Because the Jews set up their own law about the Sabbath, about how far you could go away. See, their own law could be their killer. Their own law could be their destruction. The laws of men wasn't the laws of God. They set up. They said how this thing would work. He said, pray it don't happen on the Sabbath. Why? Because the Jews that follow the law real close of what they call the law, but really a lot of it isn't the law. They're going to follow it. It'd be right to their destruction. And he said, you better pray it don't happen on the Sabbath, because if that day falls on the Sabbath, you're in big trouble. Because they won't go far enough away. They can't do it. Well, you can only travel this far. Well, that'd be a sin to me to go far. Let's stay here and die. It's incredible. See, that's what the law does. Now, he identifies the fact here that he says, I persecuted the church. The church and Judaism are not the same. And we need to understand this. Jesus Christ is the fulfiller of the law. Jewish people who do not accept Jesus Christ are no different than an individual who's a Buddhist or a Hindu. It's of no difference. Salvation, you can't get saved through faith in the law. It's an impossibility. Because the law is based on works. It's the knowledge of sin. That's what it was. It was the knowledge of sin. So this is the hard thing for religion, when we're dealing with religion, because religious people always have their works. Now understand, we want to have good works, but our good works are about our reward. It's not about our salvation. Salvation can only be had by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way it can be had. Now, as we get saved, we want to have good works. We want to do good things because we are rewarded for that. We reap what we sow. Excuse me. So we reap what we sow. So you don't want to, if you sow the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. So what we want to do is we want to walk right. We're not walking right to be saved. We're walking right because we are saved. That's why. And so get that. If that don't get settled on you, you'll always be grabbing at religious straws of things as, well, you know, I messed up and God, you know, don't like me now and all that, you know, and all this stuff. And you know, you'll start walking in the place of, well, if I messed up, then God can't do stuff for me. And then your faith dies. You can't trust God because what's wrong? See, I've done wrong, so He can't bless me. I messed up. Well, if God only ever blessed up because we did everything right, we'd never get blessed. I don't know about you. I don't always do everything right. But by faith, and understand, we're walking, and our salvation is based upon the works of Jesus Christ did, not upon our works. That's where our faith is in what He did. And so, keep that. So he talked about the persecution was that the church came from him following Judaism. He's following the law. So, He said the church of God, he said, beyond measure. And he said, I tried to destroy it. In other words, religion, and I don't care, religion is always trying to destroy God's work. It always is. Religion will always try to destroy God's work. That's why you don't want to get religious. You got to make sure you follow the Word of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. Follow the Spirit of God, you won't get religious. You won't walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's, you know, we want to have good works, but we're not approaching God on the basis of our good works. You know, in Hebrews, where it says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. And I always tell people this, and you guys have heard me say this so many times. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And first it said to receive mercy. Well, in other words, you wouldn't want mercy if you ain't done nothing wrong. You wouldn't come. He's telling you when you messed up, you come boldly to the throne of grace. See, if you're a person who's tied into religion, you'll mess up, you'll never go boldly to the throne of grace. You'll always want to wimp around, come around the backside of the throne, try to, maybe if I do this or I do that, then God will, you know, it'll make things okay. Lord God, I'll try to fix my mistakes. Well, forget it. If I do this, and that's what it becomes. Religion does it. The religion doesn't mess up and come boldly to the throne of grace because it tries to use works to please Him to get there. That's how people stay messed up for so long. When you mess up, the first thing you do is run to God. That's the first, because His mercy is there. And He tells you straight out, come boldly, get the mercy. First thing you do when you mess up, you run to God. That's what God said to do. This isn't man said to do. Now, religion would never tell you that. Religion tells you you messed up, you know, do 12 Hail Marys and whatever else, and you do this and say that and do this thing and that stuff, and then you go start a orphanage for the poor and the needy and whatever, God, you know, and do all these things. Then you're back with God, you know, then he'll like you. I'm sorry, don't work that way. You can't impress God with your works. You can't impress Him with your works. We impress Him with our faith in what He has done. We always honor Him and what He has done. And sure, we want to do good things. We don't want to try to mess up. But we approach, He said there's mercy and there's grace to help. In other words, there's ability to help you overcome what you messed up. So what do you do though? It says come boldly. That's a requirement of faith. You can't come bold to God in any other way. You can't come bold in your works. But you can come bold by faith. You have faith in His goodness and His mercy and His kindness towards you, and you, so you can come to Him. So that's why I always keep it in the areas of faith. Don't try to keep it in the areas of works. So Paul said, is telling this, he practiced Judaism. It was a religion. There was a religion that he practiced. And that religion was working against God's will and God's purpose. He's trying to destroy what God's building. And so it comes down to this, that Jesus Christ really is the only way. Judaism is really man's way to try to approach God. It's man trying to get to God. Man's ideas on how you get to God. What I love about the Bible is, I'm not a rocket scientist, you know, I'm not a genius. To me, the Bible tells me what I'm supposed to do to get to God, to hook up with God. And I don't have to sit and figure none of it out. I don't have to do that. I just go with the book. He gave me the Holy Ghost as a teacher. He tells me what He's trying to say in the book, and I can just go do it. I don't have to come up with my own ideas. To me, that's the most wonderful thing about the Bible. And Christianity is such a simple thing that it is hard for people to accept it as being so simplistic. It's simple. And, you know, the faith thing, I love the thing of walking by faith, because I can do that. Faith is not based upon my performance or how great I am. It's me and my, through faith, what I'm doing is saying He's great. My faith is speaking of what He does and what He carries out. That's what faith speaks. It speaks of Him. And to me, He's great and can do these things for me. And He'll do stuff for me. And it's not how great I am and what I can accomplish. He can do things through me that I could never in my life dream about being able to do. But he can work it through me. Through His grace, He can do things. And that's the wonder of faith, because I can respond to that. Because I don't know, you know, maybe some people think they're genius and they can figure all, they can do all kinds of stuff. I don't know, I can't. I just think this is a good system. I like it. It's simple. Hallelujah. So, Judaism is not faith in Christ. And over the years, I've watched this. I've watched, you know, that sometimes of Jews who have come to so-called, they've come to Christ. They say they want to get saved. But really, they follow Judaism. And they continue to follow it. And they practice it. And really, they never come to the place of full faith in Christ. It's always, there's law tied into their stuff. It's breaking away from that. That's why it's hard sometimes for people in other, even so-called Christian groups. They have their, Jesus Christ is in it, but they have all their other stuff that has to have that with Jesus, or it don't work. Your salvation is tied, like we talked about salvation, like water baptism. There's people who believe if you didn't get water baptized, you're not saved. Now, isn't it interesting? Paul's talking about salvation by faith and never mentions one time in the book of Galatians about water baptism. He says you're saved by faith in Christ. Water baptism is just an outward sign of what took on the inside, is what we're doing. That's all it is. It don't save you. Water, and God, you don't get a special pat on the back because you did it. I mean, it's just, I don't get where people go in this thing. Apostle Paul went down to, we know this, he went to Jerusalem and he ended up talking to the other disciples there. He talked to ones. And it's interesting, they said salvation was by faith and never mentioned water baptism one time. But yet people say, well, if you're not water baptized, you're not saved. Well, that's no different than what Galatians has written about with circumcision. You're not saved unless you're circumcised. They say you're not saved unless you have water baptized. I'm sorry. You're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. If there's anything else to it, then the Apostle Paul's gospel is wrong. And so we're going to have to throw out most of the New Testament since he wrote it. And I'm sticking with Paul on this thing. It's because, see, people are always trying to add something to something. They're always trying to do that. And we're warned. I mean, in the New Testament, we're warned the fact that people would come along in the last days, they'd preach doctrines of devils. See, we don't think... I'm going to tell you what, when somebody starts preaching something about faith and something else to be saved, that's a doctrine of the devil. That's what the devil wants people to believe. That there's some... Jesus isn't enough. Jesus is not enough. You have to have something else with it. And that's just what the devil will always... That's the easiest thing to trap people into. People like something they can touch, taste, smell, where you can't with faith. And that's what people want, you know. I did this certain deed, I did this good thing, so therefore I'm all right, you know. I performed the right thing. I mean, think about this. When you accept Jesus Christ, unless God would give us a vision into somebody else's heart, we wouldn't even see what went on or happened. It's a thing done by faith. It's not done by the eye. It's a person does it and their spirit gets born again. And it's an operation of faith. It's a simple operation of faith. That's what it is. Hallelujah. Be settled in the fact. The knowing of your salvation, whether you're born again, is what's on the inside of you. It doesn't matter what I do on the outside from the standpoint of I'm trying to prove something. I know on the inside. I know in me. I'm a child of God, born of God. I know my destination when I leave this earth. I know that it's inside of me, and I know it. And that's why you want to be in contact the inside. The Holy Spirit is the witness in you, and He bears witness with the truth. And He's purpose in there. He should be bearing witness. It's what you know on the inside. You become so certain of the fact who you belong to and what you belong to that I don't care what you did in the inside. I don't care outside you messed up big time this week. That does not change your faith on the inside. Your faith in the inside is what can change everything. There's not that faith on the inside. That faith in Christ in you can take the worst situation and turn it around. And that's what you want to follow. The knowing is on the inside. It's not the knowing on the outside. I can wake up some mornings and I'd wonder from my mind if I'm even saved or whatever. My God, you wake up in the morning sometimes or sometimes things happen and I stop and think, dear God, but on the inside of me, I know. Inside, I know. And see, that's what you got to do. I always like to 1 John because 1 John is written about knowing. John says, I don't know how many times in there, like we know we passed from death unto life because we love the brother. It's what we know. We know we passed. I know I passed. You know, I was saved by faith. But you know, that is a past tense thing. I'm now a child of God. I was saved by faith. I'm not saved by faith today. That already happened. That already took place. I know I'm a child of God. See, the Christian, most Christians are always speaking in the past tense. They're always talking about what their faith had back here when they believed. No, that faith brings something into knowing. It's like healing. I know when I believe I've received my healing. See, I believe I received that. I know I believe it belongs to me. I know that. It isn't around, now I'm not trying to, but faith is when you start off to believe it. But then you come to knowing. And when you get to knowing, you're going to see it with the eye. You go to knowing. You know it on the inside of you. And see, that's the most important thing. And that's why we preach the truth, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you're in hooked up with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is in you bearing witness with the truth, the Word of God. And that's how you get that knowing. See, it doesn't matter what men say a lot of different things. I want to know what the Bible says about it. Because if I hear what the Bible says about it, then I'm in the place of faith. Faith comes by hearing. The Holy Spirit can take the Word of God that I hear and reveal that to me, that inside I go from faith to knowing, hallelujah, and then you go to knowing to heaven. Glory to God. That's why it says when you pray, Jesus said when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. You believe you got it. You believe it belongs. In other words, you got the knowing in you. You come to the place that you know that He gave it to you, that it's yours. Glory to God. That's salvation starts there. Many people have never been brought to that place of salvation, to the knowing. Many people have been bought through religious things, and they've never come to true salvation in Jesus Christ. People have said all kinds of things to them. They're religious, but have never brought them to the place that they know they're a child of God. And in a short period of time, they're walking around skeptics, wondering if they're saved. They're wondering if this. I never had that problem. I feel sorry for people to have that problem. In my whole Christian life, I never wondered if I was saved. I wondered if the devil wasn't going to kill me the next day for some of the stupid stuff I did. But I always knew. As a child of God, I always knew because I came to a true salvation. True salvation is based upon knowing. We know that we pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We know. Glory to God. We know. No matter what goes along, when you have that in you, that knowing, you can stand through anything. You can keep going. That's how, when trouble comes, you have the people that quit. A lot of them, they do. They're not bad people, but they don't have the knowing in them. You can't be in the battle and lose the knowing. You can't lose that. The great thing about the battle, you got that knowing inside you, the devil could throw anything at you. Say, hey, hold it, I don't belong to you. I tell you this many times, things that went with me, and I've just stood and I said, devil, you need to understand this. I don't belong to you. You don't own me. And you ain't going to push me around. Because I'm a child of God. I know it. Hallelujah. And my daddy's backing me up. My daddy. But you do that because of what you know. Now, when I do that kind of stuff, it isn't because everything seems all of a sudden I feel like Mr. Tough Guy. No, it's inside of me. I got that knowing in me. And I put that knowing into voice. Hallelujah. And you need that. It's like you guys have heard me say, you need to be your own best cheerleader. Because lots of time somebody else ain't going to be your cheerleader. You know? When you need a cheerleader, sometimes other people, they're throwing the rocks at you. They throw a cheer. They ask the Apostle Paul. And you got to learn to be your own best cheerleader. And you got to cheer you on. You got to learn to do that. And you do that from the inside. You get convinced. You get convinced of God's love for you. You get convinced that God would do anything. I'm convinced of this. I've said it so many times over the years. I'd say, if I need to hear something and I'm missing it with God in the area, I used to always say this, God will send somebody, I don't care, to send somebody from the other side of the earth to come and talk to me to tell me. If He has to send an angel or Jesus has to appear Himself, it'll happen. I have never had a time that I needed an answer to a thing that God didn't give me an answer. Never. Because I believe He'll do anything to get across to me. I believe He'll do anything. And so you got to get over there as His love. He told me, come boldly. If I mess up, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come, just run to me. He's on our side. And get that in yourself. See, these people, this letter is written to the Galatians because they had the right gospel preached to them, but they began to listen to wrong things. They didn't get settled in what they had. When people come along and offered something to somebody else, somebody didn't stand up and look at them people in the face and say, hey, shut up. We ain't listening to you. Get your hat and leave town. You ain't coming to our church preaching that stuff. You go. No. We're just going to be nice, loving people. We're just going to let them in and tear everything up. Oh, the churches do that. The church world, man, I'm going to tell you, there's people need to run out of town. They don't need to be in your church. They need to run out of town. The devil said, we're going to find out that's what happened here, and we're going to find out in this letter that that's what happened down in the church of Jerusalem, the head church. The devil got in there, and the devil was operating in there. And even Peter became afraid of them, of those people. See, if you stop the devil right away, you won't have to worry about it later on. You won't have to worry about that. So stop it right away. Somebody preaches another gospel, just stop them right away and say, look, I love you, brother, but keep your blind mouth shut. You don't know what you're talking about. You and the devil have been hanging out with each other. You're talking stupid stuff, but you ain't talking it here. Because, I might know, but one thing is, I'm a protector of the flock. I'm the shepherd. I kill wolves. I don't pet them. I kill them. If people want to talk dumb stuff, it's best to leave. Because what happens? People get hurt bad. Just like this church, these churches were getting hurt bad because they allowed people to come and talk and say things that were a different gospel that was destroying their churches. And you don't want that. Paul didn't talk nice about them. Paul said that those people, which we had read, he said to them that he said they let them be accursed. In other words, separated from God without the ability of being saved. He said, even if I'd come and preach a different gospel than I preach, that's what should happen to me. You see, we need to become protectors. You know, I'll tell you what, be a protector of yourself. Protect your own heart. People are out here, even sometimes nice people, but they listen to wrong things and they come along and they try to propagate it, push it off to others. I mean, learn to protect yourself. Say, stop. No. You know, Kenneth Hagin, I always listened to him when he said, be as smart as an old cow, eat the hay and leave the sticks. And that's what you got to do. Sometimes there's a lot of sticks in what's said. Just learn, don't accept it. Don't accept it. I tell you, protect yourself. Praise God. Because God wants you to protect you. He'll give you wisdom. The Holy Spirit, if you listen to the inside of you, He will help you. Glory to God. Verse 14, he said, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions. This is what he says, for the traditions of my fathers. Did he say it was for the Word of God? He understood this now. It was nothing but men's traditions. He's following the traditions of his fathers. The things, their traditions. See, there's one thing, we're going to find out, and here it says about it in this writings in Galatians. It says the law is a schoolmaster to lead you to Christ. If they would have followed the law correctly, they would have known the Messiah. They would have known the Messiah. They would have been, the reason they didn't is because they had all this man's law that had been dumped in there, changed everything, and they couldn't recognize. Because why? God couldn't give revelation to them from their ideas and their laws and their rules. Really, they had shut him out. They weren't listening. The Messiah came. God in the flesh was walking around among them, and they killed him. And they tell people they're looking for the Messiah. And they were looking for the Messiah. But they were looking for their Messiah, the one they developed, the one they made a picture of, the one they weren't following after the Messiah. Yet we have a guy, you know, in the temple who and a woman who's a prophetess. They both know who the Messiah is. Anybody could have known if they had walked right and listened. They could have known. But what happens? You get over into legalism. Legalism is a destructive force. And that's why you don't want to go there. There's so much stuff of legalism that comes in that leads you away from what the Word says. So, and Paul also taught, I want to read from Philippians, the third chapter, because Paul talks about himself, of how he was as a in his following Judaism. In Philippians, the third chapter, in verse 4, Paul says this, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, he said, I the more. Now, he's talking about the flesh. And this is one thing. Religion is about the flesh. It's not about the spirit. See, there's a difference. Faith is about the spirit of man. It's about the heart of man. Religion's about the flesh. It's about the outward. It's trying to solve the condition of man through the outward. That ain't working. That's not going to happen. Now, he says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting this church, concerning righteousness, which is by the law, blameless. In other words, I was practicing everything perfect, and I was still going to hell. Paul was on his way to hell when Jesus stopped him on the road to Damascus. He was doing all this stuff, believing he's working for God, and he's against God the whole time. Man, I wouldn't want to do that, would you?
No.
My words. So he said he was the Hebrew of Hebrews in matters of the law. He was blameless. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15. He said, this is a faithful saying, and he said, worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, who I'm chief. See, this guy that was over there, this guy that was following, this guy that was over there in this religious thing, Paul just tells it. All that was nothing. I'm chief of sinners. In other words, his need for salvation through faith in Christ was what he is exactly what he needed. All that works, all that he did under Judaism, all that he followed, had produced nothing in him. It was terrible because it did bring him to a recognition of his need for a Savior and made him think that he was all right. That wasn't the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law wasn't for that. Judaism can't save. You know, personal works will never save you. Circumcision or baptism or whatever else it is, Duncan doing this and that and the other thing. Thank God for people wanting to do good things and doing good works. That's great. But they can't save you. See, I find this is most Christians don't enjoy the good works that they do because they're doing trying to earn something. Ephesians tells us that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's already done. Quit trying to get blessed and start living like you are. Live like you're blessed. Live like you're blessed. That's the life of faith, is to live like you're blessed instead of trying to get blessed. Why? If I'm blessed with every blessing, what am I doing trying to get blessing I already got? You know, I'm already blessed. That's God's decision, was to bless you with every blessing, every one of them. So that's a given. So enjoy what you do. Enjoy what you do serving God. Don't do it to try to earn brownie points. And we're serving Him because we want to. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We're just doing it because we love, and we love and want to just do something for Him. I'm not trying to earn my salvation. I can never do nothing to pay Him back anyhow. So let's forget that. Okay? What are you going to do? He's going to say, you know, that just makes us sort of equal on this thing. Well, it never happened. So get over it. That'll never happen. There's nothing we could perform that would have given us. If it was, we wouldn't have needed Jesus Christ. There's nothing you could perform to do it. So there's no payback. And He's not looking for payback. He doesn't want you to try to pay Him back. Aren't you glad? He's not interested. You can't. What He's interested in is you walking by the grace of God by faith. That's what He wants. And then He'll empower you to do what you need to do. Glory to God. I mean, you don't have to empower yourself. You don't have to become a Mr. and Mrs. Great Willpower. He'll help your willpower. You're going to need it, I'll guarantee you. Because your flesh is going to want sometimes to not do the will of God. But He can give you grace that'll give you the ability to have willpower where your natural willpower couldn't sustain you. You're never going to follow God because you have such great willpower. That ain't ever going to happen. Anybody thinks they're doing that, they're already in sin, so forget about it. They're not walking by faith anyhow. So they've already missed the mark. Hallelujah. We need grace. As I said this before, but and I'll say it again, because religion has caused more people to miss salvation than any other sin or evil combined. Religion is a deadly thing because it can make a person feel secure in their own righteousness. Oh, God, you don't want to go there. That's such a deceptive thing. That's such a deceptive place to be. You don't want to go to that place. Hallelujah. You always want to stay over in that simple place of faith in Christ Jesus. See, how do you know you're saved? Because I received Jesus Christ, and He lives in me. I know I'm saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm saved. What did you do to get it? Just took it. It was given to me. It was free. I didn't do nothing. All I just said, yeah, I'll take that. So, hallelujah, you don't have to perform anything. I said this before, I'll say it again, the religious people are the hardest people to minister to. Because they believe in their own goodness. They believe in their own goodness. I'm convinced of Jesus' goodness. I am convinced of it. I'm convinced that my goodness don't even shine a light on it, so it ain't no point me dragging it out, talking about it. My goodness ain't going to work. But faith, I stand and you stand because of your faith in His performance and what He did. Jesus earned His deliverance. He earned what He did. He did it. Just think, all we're told to do is believe in what He did and we get it. Isn't that the wildest? See, I'm convinced that's why people have such a hard time with it. It sounds too simple. Oh, it can't be. You know, we have to do something else. We gotta add something to this. It can't be that easy. But this whole thing is believing in His performance. And that's what God wants you to receive by faith, His performance. He dealt with my sin. My sin's been put away forever. I mean, just think, and I've often thought about this. especially after, you know, back when we had our neighbor, you know, Bob went, died, committed suicide. And we didn't know where Bob was at. And I was standing in our living room and I just said to the Lord, I said, where's Bob at? And the Spirit of God said to me, Bob's in hell. And when he said those words went, I heard Bob's voice in this agonizing cry. Most terrible. I mean, it just, what I even think about today gives me the creeps. I mean, it was the most agonizing, terrible cry that came out. And I knew it was Bob. I knew his voice. I knew it was Bob. And I had witnessed to Bob and things, but he never wanted to have anything to do with it. But he ended up committing suicide. But ever since that time, I've always thought about the fact that Jesus Christ died and took the sin of the world on himself. And when in Corinthians tells us that, you know, we have this gospel of reconciliation to preach, and that's God's not holding the sin against the world. And I've often thought about it. You know, when Bob went to hell, Bob has the revelation today that his sins were already forgiven. Jesus Christ, he wasn't in hell because his sins weren't forgiven. He was in hell because he didn't receive Jesus Christ. See, that's the gospel. We're supposed to tell people that their sins are forgiven. If a person ever says to you, I don't believe God can forgive me, you just look at him and smile and you say this, it's too late. 2,000 years ago, Jesus already took your sin on the cross. You're already forgiven. He just wants you to receive that. Receive it as true. That's already done. See, we tell people you need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. That's not a true God. That's not the Bible. That's the man's gospel. It's not God's gospel. God's gospel is you tell the sinner, Jesus already died for you. He's already took your sin. All you have to do today to change everything is to receive Him. That's all you got to do. You don't have to ask. If you have to ask Him to forgive you, then you're going to stand and wait till He says, I forgive you. And if you never hear those words saved, then you can't ever get saved. And I'm sorry, the book already has it down. It's already done. So they don't have to wait for Him to say a thing. All they have to do is receive Christ. That's what, as many as receive Him, to them gave the power of Son of God. He didn't say as many as ask for forgiveness. We don't ask for forgiveness to get saved. No man has to do that. Dear Lord. We just receive the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus Christ is the forgiveness of our sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that's good news. That's what the good news, and the good news isn't preached. We preach, you got to go through this stuff. You got to go through these things to get there. And it's no, He went through the things so we could get there. Hallelujah. He did the work. We get the good side of it. Glory to God. Nothing better than that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, just a little further here. In Galatians 1:15 says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace. Now he says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Now a lot of people, I've heard these things preached, you know, because the prophet Jeremiah talks about his being called from, you know, as, you know, before, you know. And so Galatians 1:15 is where we are. Now, and I want you to understand this. Every believer, we need to understand. See, when we talk about God, most of the time people, and this is the revelation you need to get and understand concerning Scripture. God is not like men in thinking. And you got to put on God thinking. Or the Bible becomes a religious book. Now, God knows the end from the beginning. You know, He knows it all. God knows who's going to receive Jesus Christ and not. He knows. He knew who's going to accept Him and who's not. And God works accordingly. God is, and understand, God wants you to work that way. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is put in you. Jesus said to the disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to show you things to come. See, we're not supposed to be just making decisions based on what's happening. That's why the church don't go nowhere. Because the church is filled with ministers and preachers. We're just trying to hang on here. We're just trying. Sorry, that is unscriptural. We were given the Holy Spirit to be like God in the sense to see ahead like He does. That our decisions are made by what we see down the road instead of making decisions by what things happen as we go along. If you learn to do that, there's lots of things you'll never have happen to you. Because you'll see, and you can do things to prevent things. You can do things to bless people and stop stuff to happen. You can see down the road. And the Holy Spirit is there to show you. That's His job, is to show us things to come down the road ahead. There's no better way to make decisions based on just what happens now. That's the way our country runs. That's why our country's such a mess. Because our Congress only makes decisions on based of the problem right now. They're never fixing anything down. So till they get done fixing what they think's the problem, we find out it don't get fixed anyhow. It's a mess. Why? Because they can't see down the road to what the real problem is. When they finally run into the real thing, it's usually too late and they ain't got an idea about it. It's seeing down the road. The church is a visionary. We're like our Father. He sees down the road. In other words, God saw Paul. God had called Paul to the ministry. God had called me. I knew that as a little boy. I wanted to be a preacher. But I got into sin and got away because church and religion got so messed up. And